Welcome to episode 17 of Roguecast. This one is entitled Who is the Holder of My Mortgage? And is my first podcast since July the 21st, 2014, believe it or not. Anyway, after an 8.5 year hiatus, I'm back and let's get into it straight away. As I've revealed in a number of posts on the Rogue Mail site, the Great British Mortgage Swindle is a multi-level fraud from beginning to end. Notwithstanding the fatal flaws in the mortgage deed and mortgage agreement, which render them null and void on the grounds of fraud by omission and misrepresentation, in this episode, I will go through the reasons why the purported lender, the mortgagee, is no longer the holder in due course of your mortgage note, and what the implications of that fact are. If you've seen the film The Great British Mortgage Swindle, you'll understand just how this fraud is a multi-leveled operation that's been in existence on these shores since 1066. In this podcast, I'm going to ask the question as to who is the holder of your mortgage. A key aspect of this multi-level swindle is the fact that the bank, through a process of securitization, has in all probability sold on your mortgage and is masquerading as the holder of the original, albeit void, mortgage deed. Thus, the bankster boot boy, literally, having sold on the mortgage, has no right of possession over your mortgaged home or indeed any other mortgage property. None whatsoever. I've written extensively about how every UK mortgage is incurably void for want of compliance with the requirements of Sections 1 and 2 of the Law of Property Miscellaneous Provisions Act 1989. I've also looked, since 2009, at countless examples of void mortgages. The deeds are manifestly fraudulent on their faces, and never in all that time have I come across a valid contract, a valid agreement for a mortgage signed by all parties to the agreement, as required at law. Never. The reason for that is that these written agreements do not exist. And that is what makes the entire racket as unlawful as any other aspect of it. Now, this, unfortunately, did not stop a certain individual engaging in what he presumably thought was witty repartee on my Facebook page and falsely claiming that we've known that mortgages are void for 20 years. At which point, I was reminded of the ancient Persian proverb, don't let your tongue cut your throat. The fact that individual has not even bothered to watch the film that blows apart the entire racket meant that I was not prepared to entertain his assertions. Indeed, why should I bother with such individuals who behave in the manner of old gobshites when they insist on placing their rhetoric before their grammar and logic? The DIVOC 91 operation was a massive fraud, but let's not forget the Great British Mortgage Swindle. After all, it's a swindle which goes back to the Jewish money changers who were brought into the country as financiers to the Norman invasion of 1066. Forbidden to own land, said immigrant financial deceivers introduced their shitar as a means of acquiring wealth. Quote, the Jews whom the Normans brought to England, or who financed and followed the invasion, brought a refined system of commercial law, their own form of commerce and a system of rules to facilitate and govern it. Several elements of historical Jewish legal practice have been integrated into the English legal system. Notable among these is the written credit agreement, shitar or star, as it appears in English documents. The basis of the shitar, or Jewish gauge, was a lien on all property, including real estate, that has been traced as a source of the modern mortgage. Under Jewish law, the shitah permitted a creditor to proceed against all the goods and land of the defaulting debtor. Jewish law that debts could be recovered against the loan secured by all property, movable and immovable, was a weapon of socio-economic change that tore the fabric of feudal society and established the power of liquid wealth in place of landholding. Jewish law, wherein personal debt superseded rights in real property, had become the law of the land. That's from an article by a woman called Judith A. Shapiro, published in the Georgetown Law Journal, entitled The Shitah's Effect on English Law. If we now scroll down through the centuries to this year, 2022, we find that the entirety of this millennium-old financial deception is nearing its inevitable collapse. I state this with confidence on the simple basis that the entire racket is literally built on the foundation of worthless pieces of paper, not so much a house of cards as a house of tissue. The following information is incendiary in its content, especially at a time when interest rates on mortgages are on the up to levels not seen for decades, further impoverishing an already browbeaten populace. The elephant in the room is this. The bank is not the holder in due course of your mortgage. By means of securitisation, the bank has sold on your incurably void mortgage to a clutch of anonymous investors, pension funds, investment platforms, and financial institutions of all hues, in the guise of special purpose vehicles. As Carmel Butler laid out in her evidence before the UK Parliament in 2009, quote, following the bank's true sale of the mortgages, the bank's contractual relationship with the borrower is extinguished. The SPV, as assignee, becomes the party that is in privity of contract with the borrower. However, neither the bank nor the SPV inform the borrower of the SP's ownership of the mortgage contract. Quite how you can be in contract with an entity when you don't know about it is beyond my understanding. It continues, the SPV will remain concealed. The borrower is unlikely to discover the SPV's ownership of their mortgage contract because, following the sale to the SPV, the bank and the SPV enter into a contract wherein the bank agrees to administrate the mortgages on behalf of the SPV, and in return, the SPV remunerates the bank for its administrative services. Consequently, whilst the bank has extinguished all its right and title to the consumer's mortgage contract, the bank's connection to the consumer's mortgage is through its administration agreement with the SPV only. The bank continues to service the loans as if nothing has happened. A primary reason for securitisation is to remove the credit risk from the bank's books. The bank, under a true sale, will sell all its rights and title in the mortgages to the SPV, and the SPV will in return pay the bank cash for the mortgage assets. This plain truth has remained elusive because under the terms of the true sale contract, the bank and the SPVs have unlawfully agreed to keep the transaction concealed from the borrower and from Her Majesty's Land Registry, thus giving the false appearance to the world that the banks still own the mortgages. Have you got that? The bank has sold on your mortgage, yet pretends to be the holder in due course of said mortgage note. Now, during the course of the last 13 years, I have never seen a UK-based mortgage deed that is not a fraud on its face. Neither have I ever seen, because they don't exist, a valid written contract made between the parties to the mortgage. contract, for an agreement, for a mortgage. None of them exist. So when I say the entire house of cards is built on foundations of quicksand, I think that is literally the case. Because all these instruments and the non-existence of the contract, the agreement to enter into a mortgage, demonstrate that it is a chimera. It's all a complete and utter illusion. Nevertheless, an illusion that has been used to systematically bleed people of their energy, their property, and all of their rights. And I speak this from hard experience. In other words, it's become self-evident to me that the banks are breaking the law in order to enrich themselves. Both the mortgage deed and agreement stroke contract for a mortgage are illegal under the terms of Parts 1 and 2 of the Law of Property Miscellaneous Provisions Act 1989. Whilst this renders every UK mortgage null and void, after all, fraud vitiates all, it does not stop the money changers trading the mortgage charges as financial securities and accruing huge profits. Ultimately, this enrichment does not stop with the banks who operate on these shores, but goes all the way to the Bank of England, as demonstrated conclusively by a recently leaked purported deed of trust made in the Bank of England's favour that has been granted to it by the chargeurs, in other words, the licensed banks of the UK. Thus it is the Bank of England that is ultimately condoning and profiteering from the invidious workings of the Great British Mortgage Swindle. You can read more about this at the Benicion website, an article entitled How the Bank of England Controls Profits from Mortgage Fraud. The judges in the UK who preside over the rigged system in favour of the money changers will all tell you that securitisation is perfectly legal and indeed a common thing. However, they are full of shit. The facts are plain to state, and it all flows out of the City of London. Securitisation is therefore the practice of bundling up into tranches of mortgage charges for sale by the alleged lender. The purported loan, the mortgage, is converted into a marketable security which is offered for sale by way of the previously mentioned SPV. Whilst this practice may be familiar to some, how many listeners are aware of another subterfuge utilised by the banks called rehypothecation? Quote, rehypothecation is the hypothecation of an already hypothecated asset. In other words, when your creditor bank or financial institution borrows money from another bank by pledging the asset you originally submitted as collateral, the void mortgage deed, your creditor bank is said to have indulged in rehypothecation. Unlike the US, where the limit to rehypothecation is 140% of the loan amount, there is no limit whatsoever in the UK, which means the City of London is an attractive haven for those who engage in money changing. It's just like a game of pass the parcel. But when the music stops, who is the one left holding the mortgage note? Exactly who is the holder in due course of the purported mortgage? After all, only the holder of the note can make a claim, financial or legal. When the bank sold on the mortgage without informing you, when it securitised the mortgage, it also sold on all its rights of chose. It lost them. Chose is defined thus. It is a term used in common law to refer to rights in property, specifically a combined bundle of rights. A chose describes the enforcement right which a party possesses in an object. This industrial scale fraud is, surprise, surprise, one that the Land Registry is complicit in. Under Section 27 of the Land Registry Act 2002, the bank's sale of the mortgage deed of the mortgage note, should I say, must be registered as a disposition of the mortgage. They've transferred it, they've sold it on. It's no longer in their possession. The consequence of this transfer of the mortgage to a new holder in due course is dependent upon a trust deed that is secured by the charging instrument, namely the deed of mortgage. Pursuant to which the originating lender no longer holds any financial or equitable interest and is left only in the role of a bare or custodial trustee, under the role of which said bank no longer has any right of possession to the property in accord with the Trusts of Land and Appointment of Trustees Act 1996. That trust deed, when the mortgage has been securitised, must be registered at Company's House within 21 days. Another point worth noting, and one which draws the Land Registry into the fraud, is the fact that the wholesale securitisation of UK mortgages by the banks must be registered as a disposition of a mortgage by way of transfer on the Land Register under the Land Registry Act 2002, Section 27, in order that stamp duty be paid. The failure to thus inform the Land Registry and the mortgagor of the transfer results in stamp duty being evaded by the false lender. In simple terms, the bank is perpetuating a fraud by misrepresentation. No longer being the holder in due course of your mortgage, it has no right whatsoever to initiate any legal proceedings against you. At this point, you may well ask the question, well, what can I do about it? Well, for a start, you could join the Great British Mortgage Swindle class action. And I've got the links on my website to that. If you have a registered UK mortgage charge or standard security, or if you've previously had one that doesn't comply with the statutory law of mortgages, you can subscribe to our mailing list and join the 1,000 plus Great British Mortgage Swindle claimants by signing up to the links for the Great British Mortgage Swindle mailing list. And also there's a link there on how to become a claimant in the class action. Two, I would urge you to write to the alleged lender via a data subject access request, a DSAR, for all the information it holds in relation to you and your mortgage account. An open source template for which is included below on the website. Now, I'm offering that freely. However, it would be greatly appreciated if those who download it could donate a fiver or so as a minimum donation in appreciation to the work that's gone into it. I'm also willing to assist anybody who needs help, but the first step is to contact me. If you need any help with this, contact me via email at roguemail@thinkfree.org.uk. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please share it, particularly with those who you think would benefit from the information, and leave a comment on the site.